Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I am talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, some swamp draining took place last week. Tell us what happened.
So General Fan, the three-star general, had served this country for, I think, 30-something years as a general in the military, served in combat, was decorated many times over. And, of course, the Obama administration had decided that they were going to make an example of a few people. So they sent FBI agents over to the White House to interview him. The agents came back and said, well, this guy's clean. There's nothing there. It was at that point that several of the upper echelons of the Justice Department began to work around those FBI interviews. And so if you remember Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, Jim Comey, all of those began to conspire. And so they decided that they would go over and try to entrap General Flynn and get him to lie. Even then, they didn't succeed at it. He would say, well, you know, I may have talked to that person, but my memory doesn't recall that. Again, you just can't imagine how busy you are in these jobs. And so in my day in Congress, every day, about every 15 minutes, it would be somebody else ushered into the office, and we would meet, discuss. And so things do. They get pretty hazy pretty quick. At the White House level, it would be even quicker. Well, they still decided that they would bring something called the Logan Act that was enacted in the first days of our country. It's a couple of hundred years old, has never been used once. And so they told the general that he probably committed a crime under the Logan Act. Even then, you had some of the higher echelons of the Justice Department begin to ask questions and say, look, this is a far stretch, or we don't think that that this is going to be able to be proven in court. What are we doing this for? And still, the dirty cops went ahead and persisted. So John Solomon was writing an article last week called The Dirty Dozen. He links not only this corruption directed at Flynn, but he links it over to the Mueller report and says, look, here are 12 reasons, the dirty dozen reasons, why the Mueller case against Flynn fell apart. So people on the left began to cry last week that General Flynn pleaded guilty. He only pleaded guilty under economic pressure. He had already exhausted all of his funds, hiring lawyers, defending himself. Then he mortgaged his house, was in the process of losing that. Then the agents came in and told him, look, we've got proof that your son did something against the law. We talked about this around 8 or 10 months ago on this program, the many ways that the Justice Department was trying to entrap and get a guilty plea from General Flynn, and finally under pressure that his son was going to be indicted, and there was no reason to indict his son at all. He had not done anything illegal, but by this time, General Flynn was broke, he was heartbroken, and he was gun-shy, and so under that duress, he pleaded guilty. Then, as it came out, the many reasons why all of these accusations began to fall apart, then the general, about 3 or 4 months ago, began to say, wait, I would like to withdraw my guilty plea because I never was guilty. I simply was concerned about my family. And so last week, the Justice Department put out the finding that there was no case against General Flynn, and they were going to drop all charges. That finding by the Justice Department still has to be confirmed by a judge. But I don't know any judge in their right mind who would side with the government in this. It is obvious they were trying to entrap the general, and it's obvious that they succeeded in wringing that guilty plea from him. And so justice is finally served. The swamp is just a little bit cleaner this week. But until we see people who are causing this to move forward, even above the objections of the folks who are interviewing the general, until we see justice is done to them, we won't know that the swamp is truly actually being cleaned up or just drained a little bit. But wonderful news for a general who served this country magnificently and has had 3 years of his life stolen by agencies who were conspiring to undermine President Trump. But to get to him, they were going after some of his top advisors. You know, if the government can do this to a three-star general who is sitting in the White House with a serving president, then imagine what they can do to you and me. This is what our founding fathers were deathly afraid of when they wrote the Constitution. They gave all those protections for us as individuals, and still the government right now is showing signs of deep corruption in many agencies. I can recall when sitting Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska, he was running for re-election, I think that was 2008, and the Justice Department fabricated charges against him about 2 weeks before the election. Ted Stevens was very popular in Alaska, but they succeeded in creating enough doubt in people's minds that the senator lost that election by about 1,000 votes out of a full statewide election. So very close, and yet there were no actual charges against him. Later, the Justice Department admitted that these were falsehoods, that they were lies, that they had been made up. And so when sitting U.S. senators and people who are advisors to the president can be attacked, I worry about our liberties. The founding fathers were extremely concerned about a government that would get too big and too powerful. That's the reason they made this a republic. It was a republic with the federal government serving in Washington. It was supposed to be the weaker of the two levels of government. The states were to be the more powerful. There's more potential for people to affect the state rather than for just your average citizen to affect what's going on in D.C. And so that's the reason that our founding fathers had this republic form, this federalism that they instituted with two levels of government that were mainly involved, states and the federal government. Washington was supposed to be much weaker because of the fears of exactly what we're seeing play out. It's amazing, but we're seeing very similar things play out in the entire situation with COVID-19. Governors are standing in with tremendous power. In the next segment, we're going to talk to Adam Derizotis. He's the executive director of the State of New Mexico Retail Liquor Establishments, and they're having to bring a case because they're being unjustly treated in favor of the big box stores, who obviously contribute more politically. They are easier to control, whatever the cases may be, but we're going to talk with him. You're seeing this concern of our founding fathers play out right now in many of the different states, and especially here in New Mexico. They worried about governments that were too strong and could not be checked back. So very important events happening in Washington as the truth is slowly revealed. It's like peeling the layers of an onion to get down to the bottom of what has actually been going on in this Justice Department, in the FBI, and some of the top agencies in Washington, the ones that are supposed to protect us. Derek, just want to say thanks to you and our radio stations. We urge all of our listeners to call in and say thank you to our radio stations. They air these segments free of charge. We'll be back with you for segment two in just a moment.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico with Steve Pierce. Steve, as promised, you have a guest on the phone.
Well, Derek, we're joined by a special guest today. Adam Derizotis is the executive director of the Independent Liquor Retailers of New Mexico. That group formed up just recently after the governor issued the executive order that said that the big box stores can sell liquor of any kind. But the small retailers, people are used to going to, their customers have been patronizing them sometimes for 50 and 60 years, they're going to have to shut down. So it has never made sense to me that the rules don't apply to everyone equally. Justice is supposed to be blind. Our laws are supposed to apply to everyone regardless. So Adam joins us today to discuss the situation that his retailers are facing throughout New Mexico. Adam, thanks for being on the program, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first off, Mr. Pierce, I want to thank you for taking your time to discuss this issue. I know a lot of media is really glazing it over in a very quick sort of fashion that keeps everybody guessing about what's exactly going on. So thank you so much for taking your time to talk to me about this. I was born and raised in Gallup, New Mexico. I am a graduate of the University of New Mexico. I reside in Farmington, New Mexico, and I have three smaller children and one older daughter who's attending New Mexico State University. I'm a third-generation New Mexican. I'm very proud of that, and that raising my kids here is something that I plan on doing, and the welfare of this state and my community is very important to me. So concerned when we have politicians that may be making decisions that they're, let's say, disguising as something that's good for the community, when it seems as though maybe there's some definite losers and some definite winners, and not necessarily any benefit that we can see in actually fighting COVID. There's an interesting perspective from the governor's office. We're trying hard to find some sort of logic in it.
What kind of work did you do before taking on this job?
So my family was in the restaurant business, and I was in contracting and construction while I was getting my degree in Albuquerque, mostly concrete and landscaping. My family had a restaurant up here that they needed help with, and I came up for a couple months just to help out, and I've been here ever since. So made the transition from restaurateurs in our family to buying a very expensive New Mexico liquor license and battling the state in court for three and a half years, all the way to the Supreme Court, just to gain the ability to open. So,
first of all, I want to know which restaurant, because I've been to Gallup quite a bit. So which restaurant? And then you've piqued my interest. What in the world did you have to go to the Supreme Court on a liquor license for? People exchange those licenses every day, and they don't have to go to the Supreme Court.
So my grandfather was actually the one who was living in Gallup. His name was Pete Derizotis. He was a judge both there in Gallup and up here in Farmington. He was the head of the Magistrate Judges Association for a pretty lengthy period of time, and also developed the judicial education program in New Mexico, which previously was non-existent. The restaurant that he had down there, there were several of them, but the main one was called the Talk of the Town. We also owned a small cafe at Yatahe. It was our first one. And then up in Farmington, we've had several different restaurants, the Pancake Alley, Zorba's, a little Greek restaurant. So we've been around the block a couple times in the restaurant business, and I was the one who decided I wanted to get us into liquor. So I saw an opportunity to take a place that was really mismanaged and try to put something positive there. The state didn't quite see it that way. It was a simple transfer of ownership from a liquor license, and they were denying me for reasons of location. Alcohol and gaming statutes clearly state you can only be denied transfer of ownership for ownership reasons. You can only be denied transfer of location for location reasons. They're denying me transfer of ownership based on the location. Had quite a battle. I beat the state in the district court, and they appealed it, and the appellate court decided it should go directly to the Supreme Court, and I prevailed in the Supreme Court.
Well, tell me a little bit about what your association is doing now to combat that and share with our listeners.
Just as a first example of how backwards and poorly thought out the order was, most every store in the state, independent and big box chain, is going to do their ordering on a Monday, meaning you're going to get your delivery on a Tuesday. The second you order it, that liquor becomes your liability to pay for. And those cutoff times are about a 3 o'clock on Monday. So her executive order came out about an hour or two after all of our stores had ordered millions and millions of dollars in inventory, which we are now on the hook for, only to find out that we would be closed the very next day. That's just a small example of how unfair and poorly planned this was. So to give you an idea of what our group has done, we've hired what I consider to be the best alcohol and gaming lawyer in the state, Mr. Mark Rhodes. He's a member of a 50-lawyer association that picks the best alcohol and gaming lawyer from every state. And what me and Mr. Rhodes have done in our association is sent the governor and alcohol ABC, it's now called, a couple letters. The first one is requesting that they refund us for our licenses. They charge us $3,500 a year on top of the hundreds of thousands that most of us spent. We're talking from $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 just to own the license. then they charge you $3,000 or $4,000 a year just to be able to keep using it. Well, we've simply asked the state to be fair enough to refund us for the part of the license for this year that we were unable to use. We've also asked the state to consider not only how much inventory, the millions and millions and millions of dollars in inventory that they have deemed useless sitting in our stores. We are asking for considerations on that, and we're asking considerations for the money that we would have made if we would have been open. That was the first part of the letter that was really talking about the damages that we see, and instead of filing a suit in court and getting caught into the governor's game of fighting in her arena, we really think alcohol and gaming plays a crucial role, specifically with our industry, that can help the governor realize exactly where she may have misstepped when it comes to a legal perspective. So beyond the reparations that we're asking for our inventory and our license, we've also made a public records request. The first part of that request is to know what sort of information the governor used while making this decision. What information did the governor use to decide that liquor stores, and more specifically independent liquor stores, closing specifically them would have been advantageous in fighting COVID? There isn't any evidence. It doesn't exist. That's why it will be very interesting to see her dance around that one. Secondly, we would like to know if the governor has taken any political contributions from anybody who has been open while we were forced to close. I think it's very important in the transparency aspect to know exactly what may be making her hum the tune that she is.
We've been visiting with Adam Derizotis. He is the executive director of the Independent Liquor Retailers of New Mexico.
Mr. Pierce, I'd just like to thank you personally for your leadership in this issue and for bringing some common sense and somebody who believes in New Mexico businesses and who's willing to fight for us.
You've been listening to our interview with Adam Derizotis. He is the executive director of the Independent Liquor Retailers of New Mexico.
We have more of Inside New Mexico coming up. I hope you'll stay with us.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, and I am talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Well, Steve, you got some exposure on Fox News. Tell us about it.
Well, it was Fox and Friends last week, about 4:50 in the morning. They had called and asked if I would be on an interview right then. So we jumped on Fox and Friends. Steve Ducey was the host. We're going to play that clip for you.
The state of New Mexico this week among the states starting to reopen, but our next guest is calling out the governor there, claiming an uneven playing field is hurting mom and pop small businesses. Here to explain, Steve Pierce, chairman of the New Mexico Republican Party. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. Hope you're well and your family.
Thank you very much. Right back at you as well, Steve. So your governor has essentially said that mom and pop small businesses must remain closed, but big box stores are able to be open. Explain her logic.
Well, I can't explain the logic. It's totally unfair. It's discriminatory. New Mexico is big and rural. We have a couple of population centers, but everything else is sparsely populated. Mom and pops drive the state. And so the initial order weeks ago, the governor said the big box stores can open. No restrictions on them. The small mom and pops had to shut down Many of them are just going to be forced into bankruptcy, will not be open. In the meantime, counties which do not have even one case, the residents of those places, no big box stores are there, they're having to drive into Albuquerque or Santa Fe or Las Cruces in order to hit a big box store. That puts them closer to people who might have the virus. And so it has just never made any sense, but mostly it's just the patented unfairness that drives our money into the big box stores. They ship it out of New Mexico at the close of business day. They don't use local banks, so we're robbing the state for capital into the future. We've been saying that, wait, it's got to be a level playing field. There has to be competition from both sides. There have to be choices. Local businesses should get the same rights as the big mom and pop, right, the out-of-state giant corporations.
You know, Steve, if you were watching about 20 minutes ago, we were talking about the salon owner in Texas who opened up early, even though the state said that technically her non-essential business had to be closed. She was fined $7,000 and thrown in jail for a week. Because, as it turns out, she defied a cease and desist. She tore it up at a demonstration. The judge gave her a chance to apologize, and she said, I'm not going to apologize for trying to feed my family. And there in New Mexico, you've got the instance of apparently a small business owner who's a veteran. He was fined $60,000 because he had to reopen. Where's that guy ever going to get that money?
He can't get that money. Your average business may make 10%. That means you have to sell $600,000 worth of products in order to get the $60,000. They're just going to be forced into bankruptcy. The veteran is disabled. His wife runs the business. And the governor is coming in making an example of them. Five or six uniformed state police officers circled around the building, slapped the notice on the building. The fine is just devastating to that small community because it's made up of totally of small businesses. Even the local police officers, sheriffs were having to drive into Albuquerque to get ammunition that she sold there. She was an essential business that got fined $60,000.
Steve, real quick, I am sure that the governor of New Mexico will see this segment sometime today. What is your message to her about this uneven playing field?
Well, my message is that the small business owners throughout New Mexico, they're the fabric, they're the heart and soul of our state. And I would just say to the governor, you're driving a stake into the heart of, and the spirit and the soul of our state. The small communities depend on local business owners that they're the ones that support the basketball team, the football team. They're the ones that are there for the Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs. Give them a fair chance. They can survive okay, but they're not under the current orders.
Yep, indeed. All right. Steve Pierce joining us today from New Mexico. Sir, thank you very much. Be safe.
Since that point, we sent a letter to Attorney General Barr. He said a couple of weeks ago that he was going to start looking at the states and make sure they were following the Constitution. We're claiming that equal access to the consumers is being violated under this governor, that the mom and pops are prohibited from getting access to the customers. And meanwhile, all of the big box stores are just making a killing. When you go on one of the big outfits, I'll guarantee you they can't monitor 100 to 200 people. That's generally the size of customer load that is in there. That's all dollars that are leaving New Mexico, never to return. So we'll continue our voice, but we're hoping Attorney General Barr comes in and looks carefully at the young lady that got the $60,000 fine and grants for being open. We've got the liquor retailers that we've talked to in the last section of this program. They are being hurt tremendously, and so we're going to have Attorney General Barr look at as many of these cases as possible. The Sheriff's Association, led by Tony Mace, Democrat there in Grants and Cibola County, he also signed a letter that was joining up with us. The Republicans in the House of Representatives, led by Jim Townsend from Artesia, have sent an equal letter to Attorney General Barr. So I think we're going to get their attention. I think that something will be happening that would cause the Attorney General to take a look at New Mexico. You know, speaking of small businesses, Wanda Bowman posted on her Facebook. She owns a furniture store in Las Cruces, and that the rules that the governor has implemented for furniture stores, everybody's driving to El Paso from Las Cruces buying furniture in Texas. So again, the governor is driving our dollars out of New Mexico. And then one interesting note, Pastor Jason Perry posted yesterday that he got just a real courteous phone call from the governor's office. He even believed it to be a prank. He thought no one would be asking this, but they were saying, what are your summer programs? You're going to do vacation Bible school? Are you going to do this? You're going to do that? And he thought it was a prank and asked for a number where he could call back and see if it really is the governor's office. He declares on his Facebook post that it was absolutely the governor's office. The same lady came back on and began to question him. He replied that he didn't feel comfortable sharing those kinds of information with the governor's office, given that she had taken such a hard stance on Easter Sunday services. And so he's warning pastors across the state, be careful what you share with the governor's office, because they could use the information against you. A great show today, Derek. I appreciate everything. If you would share with our listeners how to get a hold of us, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. And yes, we hope you will stay engaged with the Republican Party. There are several ways to do that. One is through the website at www.gopnm.org. You can get the latest news, upcoming events, information about elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about the party and its mission. You can also listen to previous editions of this program. You can also see the video of the Fox and Friends clip that we played earlier. The Republican Party of New Mexico has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. And the Republican Party of New Mexico is always looking for volunteers to help with their mission to win New Mexico for President Trump and to turn the roundhouse red. You can call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. I'll look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.